any defeat on this scale is embarrassing. They lost by almost 200 votes in the House of Lords, which I've been talking to people and they can't come up with a precedent for that in modern times. And this was also something that Gordon Brown decided to press ahead with when he had the opportunity to drop in. He came in as a new Prime Minister and could quite easily have said, I've changed my mind. There were lots of people, and by no means all sort of hard-line civil liberty campaigners who you'd expect to say, don't press ahead with 42 days, or people in his own party saying, don't press ahead with it, and he decided to go ahead. So it is pretty embarrassing for him, but he was saved by the fact that it managed to coincide with this enormous banking crisis that we're in. So it's received far less attention than it would in normal circumstances. Bearing bad news is the phrase that someone once coined to describe that, and that's what he was able to do on Monday night, really.
Why did Gordon Brown stake so much political capital on 42 days?
There are various theories about this, and the first one is I think because he believed it was the right thing to do. I mean, it's always tempting in politics to look for sort of hidden motives, but sometimes you've got to take them at face value, and people who have dealt with Brown on this think he was absolutely sincere about this. But he was also, remember, a man who sort of came into the job of Prime Minister with a background in economics. There were people at the time who said he didn't know much about national security, doesn't know much about defence. So, I mean, it's quite possible that this was an issue where he felt that he was under more pressure than perhaps Tony Blair might have been to prove that he was tough on defence and terrorism and that he would take robust stances. And also, inevitably, there was a political dimension in this. He must have thought at some level that if he could be seen to be on the side of 42 days and put the Tories on the opposite side, then it's conceivable that if there were to be some sort of terrorist outrage, he could turn around and say, look, I was on the right side of this argument, the opposition weren't. The Conservatives are pretty sure that's why he was pushing this in the face of all that opposition. I don't believe that was his sole motive, but sort of politicians always act for a mixture of motives, some noble, some base, and I'm sure that was part of it.
Well, that's quite interesting. You should say they should act for a mixture of motives. That's probably true in the case of David Davis. He resigned from the shadow cabinet, of course, and as an MP, fighting a by-election on the issue of 42 days. Now, he's saying, after the government scrapped this proposal, that he's vindicated. What do you think about that?
Well, he was vindicated in the sense that he was on the side of the argument that has sort of won in the House of Commons. He is claiming that where I think he's wrong is that he's claiming that his decision to resign had a noticeable effect on the outcome. I don't think it did. I mean, I think they would have been heavily defeated in the House of Lords, whatever. It's true that his by-election campaign attracted publicity to this issue, but I don't think the evidence suggests that he didn't change public opinion. He certainly didn't change Gordon Brown's mind. He wasn't responsible for the scale of the defeat in the House of Lords, because we got a measure of what peers felt about it when they debated it at second reading before the summer, and it was quite clear then that this measure was heading for a stonking great defeat. So I think it would have gone down sort of regardless of what he did.
You mentioned the timing of this defeat. I mean, it comes as Gordon Brown is enjoying some very good press over his pioneering scheme to bail out the banks, which has been adopted all over the world. This week, the Conservatives have been repeatedly attacking Gordon Brown over his handling of the economy. Is this now the end of bipartisanship?
Yeah, it didn't last long, did it? It started on the Tuesday of Conservative conference after Congress sort of voted down the first Hank Paulson bailout package, and shares on Wall Street sort of collapsed by about 500 points, I think, that dramatic Monday. Then for about 2 weeks, the Conservatives, they weren't officially in bipartisan mode, but they were definitely scaling back their attacks on Gordon Brown. This week, they're coming back at him much more aggressively. George Osborne had a piece in the Evening Standard on Monday saying that taxpayers were going to lose out and firmly trying to put the blame on Gordon Brown. I think the Conservatives have been unnerved by quite how much laudatory press Gordon Brown is receiving at the moment in the world. The French press have been praising him. In America, we had an article in the New York Times by the winner of the Nobel Prize for Economics, Paul Krugman, saying, putting the question that Gordon Brown might have saved the global economy. This has clearly made the Conservatives uncomfortable, and they don't want that idea to sort of take hold of the public imagination.
I know there's still a long way to go until the next general election, Andy, and anything could happen. But I mean, if we do accept that Gordon Brown has saved the world, has he saved himself from losing the next election?
It's far too early to tell, and just because you're getting plaudits from academics and pundits doesn't mean that the voters out there are going to give you much credit, and they're an ungrateful lot at the best of times. It's one thing to come out with a bank rescue plan. What will be quite different is how people react once this downturn hits the real economy and people start losing jobs in their thousands or hundreds of thousands. Most economists are saying we're already in recession now. That will get confirmed when we get the growth figures by the end of the year, and that next year is going to get worse. And at the moment, sort of people haven't lost out from financially from the banking crisis. If people start losing their jobs in large numbers, they will. That doesn't necessarily mean that doesn't inevitably mean that they'll take it out on Gordon Brown. And remember, John Major got re-elected in 1992 when the economy was still in recession. So there are circumstances in which a government can persuade the electorate that they're better placed to handle it than the other lot. But it's going to be a difficult argument for Gordon Brown to make.